You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. When most of us hear this word witness, we think of a court case where we might be called to testify or to give testimony, to say to somebody else, I was there, I saw what happened, this is what happened. And this can be one of the very first challenges for us in being witnesses to the gospel as Jesus commands us to be. Because we think, well, I wasn't there. I didn't see Jesus rise from the dead. I didn't see him ascend into heaven. I didn't see him heal people or preach the good news. Yet Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You see, it's possible to be a witness to the life of Jesus by immersing ourselves in it. We can be present in the life of Jesus even 2,000 years later. And we do this in three primary ways. One is through daily personal prayer. Remember, prayer is about an encounter with a person. It's not about reciting things, although sometimes that's helpful for us when our minds are racing and we need a prayer to pray. But it's about an encounter with a person. In fact, it's the same person who died, rose, and ascended into heaven. It's the same person who did those healings and preached that word. And you can still encounter that person today. Remember, Jesus is still alive. Somewhere out there, he's still alive. And on a spiritual level, he wants to communicate with you. Secondly, through Scripture. Many of us do not read Scripture every day. And as St. Augustine said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of God. One of the difficulties in being a witness, we think, well, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. You can be through a careful reading and constant reading of Scripture. Whether it's reading the daily readings from Mass, even if you can't go, using what's called a devotional Bible, where it gives you a little Scripture reading each day and then a little meditation. I think even watching Bible movies is very helpful in immersing ourselves in the life of Jesus. I still remember as a kid things like Jesus of Nazareth, you know? It puts images in your head so that you can feel like you were there. I remember the movie Moses with Charlton Heston, and I still, in my mind, can hear the voice of God. Moses, right? Because we were brought up on that. We can immerse ourselves through visual, through reading, in biblical times. Lastly, a third way that we can really immerse ourselves in such a way as to come to really know Christ so that we can be his witnesses is actually through stewardship. Stewardship is recognizing the gifts we've received and then sharing them with another person. And Jesus says, when you do something for the least of these, you do it for me. Meaning, when I share a gift that God has given me with another person, I've done it for Jesus. Whether it's altar serving, or singing, or ushering, whether it's coming and beautifying the campus by taking care of flowers or mowing the lawn, whether it's leading a Bible study or preaching, we all have a gift to share. And we can actually encounter Christ. We will come to know the Christ who lived 2,000 years ago by enacting that stewardship. Why? Because when we do that, we encounter Jesus. He said it himself. Now, these three things can help us to actually witness to come to know Jesus so that we can tell other people about it. Personal daily prayer, Scripture, and stewardship. But a second difficulty that we often run into is it's hard for us to actually tell people about it. Maybe we're chicken or we don't know what to say. Notice in the gospel that before Jesus gave the command to go out, it says that the apostles, though granted these are your first 11 bishops, that they doubted. They were fearful. And what's really going on here is this. Jesus has been the one doing all the work, right? He did all the healings. He rose from the dead. He preached the good news. And these 11 men have been following him. 12 minus Judas, 11 men have been following him. And all of a sudden Jesus says, well, I'm going back to heaven and now you guys get to take over. You can imagine how they felt. Wait a second, Jesus. You are the guy doing all these really cool things. We can't do that. Isn't it your job, Jesus, to do all that? And how many of us react the same way? When perhaps our pastor tells us, you are the ones who have to go out and spread the good news. And how many of us sit at home or sit in the pew and say, well, Father, isn't that your job? No. In fact, it was Pope Francis who recently said this. In virtue of their baptism, all the members of the people of God have to become missionary disciples. All the baptized, whatever their position in the church or their level of instruction in the faith, are agents of evangelization, and it would be insufficient to envision a plan of evangelization to be carried out by professionals while the rest of the faithful would simply be passive recipients. Are you a passive recipient or a missionary? Sometimes it's a challenge to go out and preach the gospel and witness to it too, because we feel like we've got to be 100% before we can give other people the gospel. And while there's a measure of truth to that, that can be a motivating factor. We do not have to be perfect to be able to witness to the gospel. Pope Francis says this, "Of course, all of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. In this sense, we ought to let others be constantly evangelizing us. But this does not mean that we should postpone the evangelizing mission. Rather, each of us should find ways to communicate Jesus wherever we are. All of us are called to offer others in explicit witness to the saving love of the Lord who, despite our imperfections, offers us his closeness. Our falling short of perfection should be no excuse." When you think about being a witness, being put up on that stand and asked, "What did you see? What did you experience? What did you hear?" It can be a scary proposition. A lot of our crime dramas, I notice you put somebody up on the stand and they're afraid to give witness because they don't want the same thing that happened to another guy to happen to them. I think a lot of us deal with that same sentiment. Though we know we're probably not going to be crucified like Jesus Christ, we do know we're going to be persecuted. People will make fun of you. You could lose your job. You are probably not well trained enough. But none of those things matter. If you were to be called into court to testify, to give witness, and you were put up on that stand, and you refused to speak, what would we call that? Being held in contempt because you would not give witness. When we go before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, will we be held in contempt because we did not testify? Be a witness to the risen Christ by knowing him in prayer, scripture, and stewardship. And take that scary step of being a witness to Jesus Christ, even when it means persecution. And let us not be held in contempt for our failure to witness.